Charles Pedersen, I'm sorry, who's going to talk to us about building an enterprise data warehouse at Azure Synapse. So we're moving to Team Synapse. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you.
And, good to be here. Thanks. I'll let you take it away.
Fantastic. Thank you. And thank you, Pratik, for setting us up with governance as we move into the Synapse component of the session today. I'll start by talking a little bit about enterprise data warehousing, very common scenario that we're working with customers who are modernizing these platforms, legacy platforms, onto more elastic and modern infrastructure in the cloud. I'll be joined a little later by my colleagues Ewan and Savin, who are going to talk about additional capabilities of Synapse. But the key to remember, I think, as we go through this three sessions today is Synapse is a single unified service. And we'll all talk about enterprise data warehousing, which is probably more of the traditional workloads we would think about for this class of analytics platform. What Savin and Ewan will talk about is really how Synapse extends into entirely new classes of workloads as well, all within a single unified platform. Now, within the context of enterprise data warehousing, I'm going to really focus on four simple things. We've only got 30 minutes today. I could talk about enterprise data warehousing for weeks. So I've tried to really simplify this into some of the core sort of, I'd say, things that you need to look at when you look at data warehousing. One is around your architecting and data modeling in data warehouses when you move to the cloud and distributed systems, particularly if you're coming off something like SQL Server, or if you're coming from, you know, appliance-based platforms where you're familiar with distributed data models. We'll talk and look at that in a bit of depth today, and of course, look at a fair bit of code. We'll look at data security and just demo some of those capabilities and explain how some of those core functions work. I'll talk a little bit about workload management, which is another core capability within enterprise data warehouses, and how you can support very large populations of users and at the same time ensuring that everyone's having a very predictable experience. And at the same time, the cost is very predictable as well. And that becomes something that needs to be considered as you do move into very elastic cloud warehouses. And the final, I'll just give a quick demo on some of the more recent functionality we've launched around advanced analytics and how we're enabling in-engine scoring of ML models using the actual SQL language and that cluster as well. So let's get moving here. At the top, I just want to remind everyone that this is a unified experience within Synapse. The scope of the conversation that I will have today will be around the SQL analytics runtime and the data warehouse storage. Ewan is going to talk more about Spark over the data lake storage and looking at Synapse Link as well. That's where Savine's going to point with some of the integration topics as well. So we're going to try and hit the totality of Synapse today, but I just wanted to frame this up before we move into the next three sessions. Now, Synapse in the SQL form factor itself has two actual modalities of consumption. There is a serverless form factor today that's a pay-per-query model. It's really geared toward ad hoc exploration over the data lake and also data transformation that you can then operationalize into pipelines. I'm not going to focus so much on serverless today. I'm going to focus on dedicated. And the reason that we really think about dedicated as being the ideal platform for enterprise data warehouse workloads is that the clusters are persisted with a hierarchical cache. It gives you that really highest levels of performance, which is really, you know, one of the characteristics that everyone is looking for in any analytics platform, but particularly their enterprise data warehouse. And so today I'm going to focus primarily on the dedicated form factor. Now, in that dedicated form factor, we think of dedicated as having scalability attributes that can suit any class of workload. The elasticity of the cluster means that you can scale down really to what is only a handful of compute cores, or scale actually into thousands of compute cores as well. And that scalability means that you've got the capability to set the mark or set the scale point suitable to a given workload. The storage in and of itself is completely separated from the compute, and it's bottomless for columnar storage in the platform as well. And we have customers, of course, who are running Synapse economically at multiple different scale points, of course, all driven by the characteristics of their workload. Now, let's start to get into some of the more technical details of enterprise data warehousing in Synapse, starting with data modeling. Now, Synapse has a very complete storage system, and I'm going to explain each of these eight features. But the value here for customers when they're deploying and running Synapse in production is that the combination of these eight storage structures is unique amongst cloud warehouses today. And it enables you to structure your data in such a way that it reduces the I/O all the way down to the storage, which is, as I mentioned, separated from compute. This accrues to significant value for running the clusters in production and potential cost savings. When you've got structures that enable the query processor to identify smaller amounts of data that it needs on a per query basis, that has a knock-on effect of moving less data over the network, so that's faster. You put less data in the cache of the cluster and you process less data. And because the cache and the CPU is co-located in a single cluster, if you have a lower requirement on those resources, you can run smaller clusters to achieve the same output. And that ultimately means you spend less on that cluster. Now, these eight features that accrue to this are columnar storage, which has pretty much been an industry standard for analytics for quite a while now, and explicit ordering of that columnar store, so that you get an ordering of a column of data within the table, so that when you filter on that table, we can do things at the storage system to isolate or eliminate a lot of the row groups and columns that aren't required for that query. We support replicated and distributed tables, which enables co-location of joins on a single node, even in a distributed system, and that eliminates a lot of data movement. We provide table partitioning, which is traditionally used extensively in data warehouses, particularly for those large fact tables where you've got time series data that probably dates back over multiple years. And partitioning, it gives you another structure to eliminate a lot of the data where you're filtering on that date time, because we can ignore partitions that are not relevant to that query. We support hash distribution, which is also a method for sharding the data across the nodes. Round robin is supported as well. And I'll show you a little bit of the performance characteristics of those platforms and why explicit hash distribution is such a powerful feature. It's a feature that existed in on-premise appliances. And so bringing those workloads into the cloud and leveraging this capability in Synapse is going to make that migration easier and more cost-effective as well, because you're not making a whole lot of decisions around re-architecting data around the platform. We support non-clustered indexes, so that's the ability to order data over other columns for that real needle in a haystack query, where you can seek a very precise row, perhaps out of billions of records, without needing to do a full scan of that table. Materialized views create a structure on top of the table where the query optimizer will automatically match to that view. I'm going to show that in the demo as well. And those materialized views also support joins, which means you can actually join tables but aggregate them lower than the cardinality of the join itself. And again, the query optimizer will automatically match that. And the platform as well will maintain transactional consistency of that data as changes are made to the underlying base tables. And so that's really important. You'll never get a result that's out of sync between a table and a view. And the QO will automatically match all or even do partial matching against those materialized views, which means the user doesn't need to worry about a given query hitting a view or a table and understanding how the data platform has been optimized for them. Finally, the result set cache does full text matching against the query coming in. And so if we've seen that query before and the platform is the smarts to know that the underlying data has not changed, it'll just pull that from the result set cache, and that typically returns in about 200 milliseconds or less. Now, as I said at the top, these eight features combined are unique amongst cloud warehouses, and they accrue to that value, as I described, of reducing I/O, automatic matching in the query optimizer to leverage those materialized views with joins, so that you can join and really eliminate that big join cost and really join once for workloads that may repetitively join those tables. All of it just reduces the CPU requirements and enables you to run these workloads faster. So let's switch over to demo now. I'm going to bring in Management Studio for this one. It's useful to demonstrate the backwards compatibility of Synapse SQL Engine with tools that we know our customers have been using, that they've loved for a number of years now. But I'll also show part of this demo in Synapse Studio as well. And so right from the top here, what you can see is I've got a table called web sales. This is a table from the TPCDS dataset. I've removed a whole bunch of columns here just for the sake of simplification of the demo. But what I wanted to show you is some of the properties that I just talked about in the previous slide. So first of all, you'll see web sales is a distributed table. I've said that I want a distribution, and I'd like to hash that distribution based on the column WS item SK. This is a high cardinality column, and it's going to give us a great shard across multiple distributions in the platform. I'd also like this table to be stored as a clustered columnar index. This is default, by the way. I don't need to explicitly put all data in Synapse as columnar by default. But I've told it I'd also like an ordering on this table based on the customer key. So I'd like to be able to find that customer key really quickly. I'm also going to put partitioning on here. Now, what this means is because the table's partitioned, I'm getting a local ordering of the ship customer key within each partition, as opposed to a global ordering, should I not use partitions. But in this case, I'm using partitions, and I'll show you why. And so I've got here six partitions, ranging just a calendar year from 98 to 2003. And this means that when I run queries that filter on the sold date, I'm going to be able to eliminate a whole bunch of partitions if I'm looking for a time range within here. And we've done this in SQL Server for many years. But what's new in Synapse is both the distributed and also the explicit ordering of column store indexes. So if I come down here, I can just show you what web sales looks like. I'll run a quick query to show you the scale. This came back very quickly. I lifted it out already. It's a fraction over 2.1 billion rows. It's slightly outside the size limits of an integer data type. And so I used count big to return a big int. So we're working with a non-trivial amount of data. And my cluster size in this case is only about 3,000 units. So it's a pretty modest size cluster. And that's by design to demonstrate the performance characteristics of Synapse using what's really a relatively small compute size over, you know, it's not the largest data set, but 2.1 billion is certainly a meaningful size data set. So what I'm going to do is I've got a query here. And we might just shrink the text a little bit to fit it all in. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go run a query plan on this. And so the first thing you'll see is, as I lift that up right there, there's no shuffles. There is a shuffle, actually. This is actually a very small shuffle. It's doing this shuffle to align the quantity when it does the group by. But I've written this query very intentionally. I've asked for a count distinct of the item key. Remember up here that I'm distributing by the item key. I've also asked it to do a windowing ag where I'm partitioning and the item key is part of that is part of that column set. Now, the query optimizer in Synapse is really smart. What it knows is that this table is hash distributed on item SK. And what that means is that any given instance of a value in the item SK column, could be 1, 2, 3, will always exist in a single shard in my distributed database. So when I run this query, what you're going to see is this is going to come back quick. It's going to come back in about 3 or 4 seconds. And the reason it can come back so performantly is because it's doing all of this work in a fully distributed fashion. It's co-locating all of the pushdown for this query onto each distinct node in the cluster. And it doesn't need to move the data because I'm hashing on this key. Now, if I introduce partitioning and look at the query performance again, let's go run that query one more time. You'll see that this is going to come in even faster. So now we're down to 1 second. And so this is actually a non-trivial query. The actual meaning of the query is probably unimportant here. It's more the purpose of the demo. But where I'm actually doing something where I'm using windowing aggregates, which are relatively expensive operations, I'm doing count distinct, which is pretty expensive as well. You can see here that when I bring that down, I run the query, we're into actually 1 second to execute that query. And so that's pretty efficient. Now, what I did just to prove the contrast here is add a round robin variant of the table. Now, before I go to that, I'm going to come back to the slides and just explain what happened here. And you'll be able to see exactly what I did. So imagine this is the web sales table. What I have here is partitioning on the sold date that I just showed you. I've got ordering using columnar ordering on the ship column. And then I've got hashing on the items key. So let's talk about the three of those. You'll see here my partitioning means that every record that is of value 1998, or it's actually a full date, but I abbreviated for this slide, is stored in its respective 1998 partition. 1999, 2000, 2001. Super simple. Where I filtered, I think it was on 2000. We've eliminated all of these partitions and only isolated on this set here. The next thing I did was I did a local hash on the item key. And so what I've tried to show here is that the value 1 or 5 or 9 or 1 or 5 or 9 is going to exist in this column, but for it, sorry, in this shard, but for a different shard, I'm guaranteed to have different distinct values. What this really represents entirely is a single shard. But what this is showing is as I scale that out, I'll always have different values. And that enables the co-location or distribution on each of these nodes in the cluster without needing to move data. The third was around filtering on ship key. Now, I didn't actually do this. I filtered on the quantity. But where I had an explicit order on the customer key, you can see here that the row groups, which are denoted by these boxes, are ascending 1, 2, and 3. So imagine my query said, I want 2000, and actually I want customer SK 2 here. We could eliminate all of the data that's represented in here. And remember, I've only got 4 columns here. My table actually had about 25 or 30 columns. I could ignore all of that. And the query processor and storage engine understands exactly how to zero in right on this block of data to resolve my query. And so you can see how we're eliminating that scan of both the table by using columnar. We're only hitting the columns we need. We're only hitting the partitions we need. Within that partition, we're only hitting the row group that we need here. And we're able to do all of the work completely locally on each compute node without needing to shuffle the data. And so this is how this storage system accrues to value for the customer. It's actually really simple to design data models around this. You know, if you've been doing it on appliance form factors, or once you've sort of got the basic constructs of this, the benefits are tremendous, and the performance and cost savings it can yield are pretty awesome by using a storage system that we have in Synapse. Now, let me go back to the demo, because I've got a couple of other things that I want to keep showing here. So I'm going to do the same thing with a round robin table. Everything is exactly the same, but it's a round robin distribution. And so I'm going to come back and run exactly the same query. And so let's go do that. And I'm going to leave my query back to 1, 3 again. I have to shrink that a little bit to make sure I don't miss any. So we'll go on this. This is going to take a little longer. Now, I warmed this up before the session, so you should assume that we're running cached. And we're doing some data movement here to run the query. So it's still not bad. We're coming back in 8 seconds. But because the table's not leveraging that hash distribution, we'll always run, but it just takes a little longer. And this is the benefit of that hash distributed storage system. It'll just prove that I can run it again. It's only going to run in 7 or 8 seconds, as I showed you. Now, the table is partitioned, however. And so all of these features, these storage features, really intersect with each other. And so should I run that again now and hit one of my partitions, I would expect this to come back quicker. We've isolated the partition. We've reduced the movement. Looks like it's taken a little longer, but maybe I need to warm this one up. But you can see this is gonna finish hopefully relatively soon. The beauty of a live demo. I'm actually gonna keep moving here just in the interest of time. Now, if I move down further and isolate, what I'm gonna show you is specifically what that local execution does on a compute node. Here's count distinct on my distribution column. So this is not too bad. We came back in, 0 seconds. Now, let me show you if I go run that on a non-distributed column, on the non-hash column, you're going to see this takes a little longer because we need to shuffle the values to co-locate distinct values onto the node and then do that count distinct. Now, it's not quite a fair test. You'll say, well, the first count distinct was 360,000 rows. This is far more rows, so that's more resource intensive. That's a true statement. But let me show you how I can solve for that with materialized views. So here I created a materialized view earlier. And the really nice thing about materialized views in Synapse is they also let me hash distribute. So now I've got a materialized view that's aggregating pre-aggregating some records from this table, but it's distributed on a different key. So let's come back down and I'm going to run effectively the same query. I picked a slightly different column here. This is billing customer key. This is shipping customer key. So they're about the same levels of cardinality, which means I'm going to be pretty equal to what I showed before. But I'm going to query web sales. Now, let me show you what the plan looks like for this one. If I come over get, I was querying the web sales, the web sales table. But you can see my output list here is the database.schema.dbo.materializedViewShippingData. So this is where the query optimizer has automatically matched a query that was targeted at a table to hit the view because the performance is better. This should take 6 or 7 seconds on the table. But when it hits my materialized view, it comes back instantaneously. And so that's really nice as well. And you can see how these materialized views, again, give you really, in some cases, orders of magnitude performance gains over running it directly against the table. And if I was to add records to the web sales table, well, of course, as I mentioned, guarantee the transactional consistency so the view is updated as well. Let's now switch over to replicate tables. What I did here is I've got dim date or date dim, and I've got two versions of this table as well. One is replicate and one is actually round robin distributed. So they exist already. I don't need to create them, but I have two queries here. And so you should imagine replicate tables are commonly used for dimensional tables, date dimensions, customer dimensions, product dimensions, those smaller tables that typically star join into those distributed fact tables. Now, because I've got web sales, which is distributed, and date dim, which is distributed, the optimizer is going to determine that date dim is smaller, and it's going to broadcast that out to the nodes of the cluster to co-locate the join. And you can actually see that. Actually, that's the wrong one. Sorry. That's the round robin one here that I can run. You're going to see that broadcast join right here. So this will be the date dim table up right there. And it's done a broadcast so that it can then co-locate the join. But if we want to eliminate the cost of that movement at all, I can use replicate it. And when I show this, you'll see there's no broadcast. And so very simple design patterns. Typically, replicate tables are distributed. Now, if you're joining distributed tables on the joining key, that will also co-locate. I won't show that here in the interest of time. But it was a really quick, pretty technical explanation because I wanted to make sure we got into the code and showed some depth here about how distributed query execution works in Synapse and the power of the feature set within the storage system for really enabling you to build these data models that are going to be highly performant and optimized, reducing the size of your clusters for still producing the exact same level of output and critically supporting those end user requirements. So let's go back to the deck here. And I'm going to pop that up just quickly. And let's keep moving. Now, with respect to data security, what you can see here is it's a very complete story as well. I want to show you some of these very quickly again in the interest of time. The main features that I want to talk about here are at the access control layer. The access control capabilities in Synapse enable you to apply fine-grained security over the data itself, masking, column-level encryption, native row-level security, and column-level security, sorry, I got those out of order, on the data. And what that means is you don't need to go and create secured views in order to apply fine-grained security. Now, this has two distinct benefits. The first is you're not constantly building material secured views and then keeping them up to date as the underlying schema of the database changes. The second thing, however, is that for the end user, it's super simple because they see a bunch of tables and they query those tables with whatever BI tool they like. And the query optimizer or the query engine will automatically apply the same fine-grained security directly on a per-user basis for each query. That's great for user training. You don't need to train different users about which is their view that they need to query, and they get errors if they try to query the wrong view. So it's simple for them to consume. It's simple for IT developers because they're not constantly chasing materialized views. And also by putting this in the database layer, not only do you remove the need for secured views, you remove any need for security at the application layer as well, which is really incredibly impossible, I'd say, to enforce as we move to more democratized models of more people bringing different applications to query over the data. So I'm going to switch to a basic view of Synapse Studio to show what this looks like now. So we'll start in pool security here. I'm going to move this down a little bit. And I'm going to borrow a few logins from my colleagues at Microsoft. And what you can see here is I'm going to run a query as Meshed. I'm going to run this query. It's going to run this really quickly. And what you're going to see from Meshed's results that when we run this is Meshed's row level security is kicked in. He can only see California, even though he's asking for everything. And what you'll see here is that the first query returned 4,293 rows. I'm going to use the same query text for everything. But you can also see dynamic masking is involved here. So these phone numbers are actually viewable by some people with permission. But in the case of Meshed, they're masked and he can't see them. But we're still on tables. You'll also see that we're applying column-level encryption right here. And I'm going to actually come and show you that subsequently in the demo shortly. So now let's go to Anshul. And so Anshul's going to run exactly the same query. So we'll scroll down there and we'll just run that, move it so I can grab the whole query easily. Let's set that up here and run that. And now as we run as Anshul, what you're going to see when the query comes back is she can see the text. There's no masking applied to Anshul. This column is still encrypted. It's a big hash string. We have no idea what the social security number is. That's our most sensitive data. But Anshul's row level security is different as well. Exact same query text. And the simplest way to show that Anshul's returning different data is she only sees 2,800 rows as opposed to the 4,300, I think, that Meshed could see. So let's keep going here and move that down again, the final security demo. Now we actually need to see that secure key. And so now in this case, I need to explicitly open the symmetric key for that column encryption. And I'm going to go run exactly the same query, but I've added a new column here called Social Security Decrypted. And so I'm going to go run this. And when I run this, you'll see I've got a decrypted value here. I needed to explicitly decrypt this in the query. And this actually builds on three levels of encryption: storage encryption by default, transparent data encryption for the database itself, and then finally a third level of column encryption combined with the row level security and masking that I showed you. So just a really quick demo about how we can do this fine-grained security in Synapse as well. Now let's keep moving here because I've only got a couple of slides I want to hit to round this out. Workload management is another key capability within Synapse. Workload importance enables you to, again, transparently to the end user, assign priorities on where a query should be partitioned in, positioned in the queue as workloads come in. And then what you can see is workload groups here enable you to define isolation or basically guarantee resources within a single cluster. And again, user workloads will transparently be classified into one of these groups. And so you can guarantee that that global contention within the cluster is solved through groups. Make sure everyone gets the right resource they require. But of course, what this min and cap means here is that if my group name, perhaps group A, is set to a minimum of 40, that's my guarantee. But if the other groups are not consuming that resource that's aligned to them, cap resource group A can automatically scale into that remaining capacity. So you're always getting full bang for your buck on the cluster. But the workload management is going to ensure that it peels back to the 40% if that other workload comes in. Finally, on the lower side, on the bottom here, you can see the clusters are elastic as well. And so the reason that that workload isolation is a percentage split, 40 and 100 in that syntax there, is so that as these clusters grow and shrink, that 40, 60% will always hold regardless of how the cluster continues to grow. The final thing is around predictive analytics. And so with advanced analytics here, we've implemented the Onyx runtime in the cluster that enables you to bring ML models that you build within Synapse, and Ewan will talk a little bit about that shortly, or actually externally in a whole set of other applications and operationalize them at scale in the platform. Now I can show you what that looks like as well, just quickly. I'm gonna flip back over to my demo that I had up and show you what predict looks like here. So in this model, I've got some data. It's a different database, but I'm using an ML model. And what I'm going to go do here is call that model, where model is a model in my table. I'm plugging in some data and I'm saying the runtime is Onyx. The most important thing here is this total amount column. It's not a column in the database. It's going to be calculated at runtime as a prediction based on the inputs of these other columns. And so when I run this, I'm going to run this quickly. What you're going to see here is the total amount column is a prediction. We're calculating this prediction in engine. So in a distributed manner, the Onyx runtime is running in each of the compute nodes. No data is leaving the cluster when I run this. I'm not dependent on an external storage system using REST APIs, which will have a massive impact on my query performance if I start to move rows from what's a highly performant, you know, vectorized query out to a REST API. There's no additional cost for the scoring service either, of course. And then I think most critically, because you've got this really secure platform set up and really the compliance boundary of that data is Synapse and perhaps even that cluster, being able to do these predictions in the cluster means you're not externalizing this data out to other entities as well. And so as we start to wrap up here and tie a ribbon around everything we've talked about, Onyx gives you the ability to run these predictions directly in the cluster. And I just talked about some of the benefits of doing that. Synapse Studio itself, you know, is a rich development experience. You're going to see a whole lot of other experiences for developing other code as Ewan and Savine walk you through it today. And we also have a very rich ecosystem of other applications that integrate with Synapse. So if you're migrating and bringing other applications, you should be pretty confident that their integration with Synapse is good. And you're going to be able to bring a lot of existing investments as part of that cloud migration. So with that, I will wrap up. Thank everyone for the time. I think we're right on the minute. And I'll perhaps hand over to Ewan, I think.
Yes, thanks. Thank you very much. Yeah, we're not going to have time for questions on this segment, but at aka.ms/learnTV, you can ask your questions via text, and we can convey some answers as well. I'm also going to add some, share some links. I've already shared some, but I'm going to share some links about how you can set up some of the things that you just showed with Visual Studio Code as well. Used MS Studio, MS SQL Studio, and the Synapse Studio. There are ways, some similar ways you can do things with Visual Studio Code as well, which is pretty cool. I found it sort of buried in the docs, which I've shared in links too.